From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. You are in the middle of a classic Washington scandal. The media is circling, the politicians are calling for your head. Whatever you do, don't cover it up. Instead, reveal that things are much, much worse than everybody thought. We'll ask how that strategy worked out, plus the U.S. Secretary of Energy risks his job security by appearing on our show, and Bill Curtis, still holding onto his dignity, wants to apologize to people who are expecting something more from NPR.
Sorry for the inconvenience.
We'll ask who is really so polite, coming up on our quiz right after this hour's news.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We got a great show for you today. We got the U.S. Secretary of Energy, Ernest Moniz. He'll be joining us later to play our game. Now, he is the second Secretary of Energy in the current administration. The first one, Mr. Stephen Chu, appeared in our show a while ago, and he lost our game. Oh, and that is why there is a new Secretary of Energy. Let's see if the new guy can keep his job any longer. That'll be later. Right now, it is your turn to give us a call and play our games. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Erica Max from Durango, Colorado.
Durango is beautiful. What do you do there? Do you enjoy all those wonderful Colorado outdoorsy things?
Well, I breed horses.
Do you?
I do.
Wow. That's tricky stuff.
Well, it can be.
Yeah, yeah. How do you...
Well, Peter, there are the birds and the bees.
I understand that. Erica, thank you for calling us. Thanks for being on our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, it's Ms. Faith Sainley is here.
Hi, Erica.
Hi, Faith.
Next, the man behind Esquire's politics blog, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hello, Erica.
Hi.
And a comedian performing November 15th at the Guard Arts Center in New London, Connecticut, it's Paula Poundstone.
Hi.
All right, here we go. Now, what we're going to do, of course, is play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis right here is going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, identify two or three of them. Do that, you win our prize, the voice of scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle on your voicemail. You ready to try this?
I'm ready.
All right, here is your first quote. It's from a government official named Julia Pearson laying out her philosophy for her employees.
We need to be more like Disney World. We need to be more friendly, inviting.
Well, Ms. Pearson succeeded in making her employees more inviting, which is why she had to resign this week as the head of what?
The Secret Service.
Indeed, the Secret Service. Very good. Last week, as we talked about, a guy with a knife managed to run across the White House lawn and go through the front door where he was tackled. That was terrible. Turns out we were wrong about that. It was great. Compared to what really happened. The Washington Post reported that the guy actually got all the way in and got through the East Room before he was tackled by an off-duty agent who just happened to be there. So Ms. Pearson succeeded in making the White House even more inviting than Disney World, because at Disney World, at least they make you wait in line.
Well, no, I think maybe he got a Disney fast pass from her.
He was headed
straight towards the Hall of Presidents.
Absolutely. That's an e-ticket ride.
And you have to give her credit. On this particular occasion, the Secret Service was really secret.
Yes. Nobody knows where they are.
You know, Julia Pearson, she was brought in after the Colombian prostitute scandal, right? She was supposed to...
old days.
Exactly. Makes us wistful.
Yeah. The final straw, I mean, this, because we knew about the guy running in, we didn't know how far he got, and then we heard these other stories. The final straw was this incident. It happened about a week before. The Secret Service was with the president in Atlanta, and they let the president get in an elevator with a man who turned out to be an ex-con who had a gun.
Now, let's give the Secret Service some credit. At least they didn't let the president get in the elevator with an NFL player or Beyonce's sister.
All right. Here is your next quote.
We're fighting for democracy. Sorry for the inconvenience.
That very courteous sign was seen at the mass protests breaking out on the streets where?
Hong Kong.
Yes, Hong Kong. Very good. The world's most polite protests are happening now in Hong Kong. The protesters have a code of civility and generosity. This is true. They're actually leaving the streets cleaner than they found them.
Wow.
And they bring food.
We don't do that on Earth Day.
I know. Did you know, guys, know that the leader of the protests is 17? He's been a political activist since he was 14. What does a 14-year-old boy organize and agitate for? Like, what do we want? Maybe to touch a boob? I mean, seriously.
Well, is that on the list?
Of demands?
We want academic freedom, real democracy, and naked ladies. I mean, yeah, no.
I don't think my son is all that unusual for a 16-year-old, and he would never organize a protest for democracy.
What
I'm going to tell him about this, though.
Yeah,
you know what? This is all for this kid's college application. He wants to go to Harvard so bad.
Yeah, this is going to look good.
You know, Paula, you've been a parent longer than I have. You must know you cannot compare your children to really extraordinary young people in the news. They don't like it.
Oh. At this point, he doesn't like anything I do. And I think this would be more fun than most of our conversations.
That's possibly true.
Yeah, he doesn't do his homework. I just think the idea of saying, you know, there's a young man in Hong Kong right now that is only a year older than you, and he has organized a protest. I go, that's why I'm asking you to dry the dishes.
Erica, are you ready for your last quote?
I'm ready.
Here it is.
Paper or paper?
That is, according to the AP, what some grocers in California will be saying now that the state has become the first state to ban what?
Plastic bags.
Indeed, plastic bags. No more. Now, this is not as huge a change as you might think, because for some time now, the major cities in California, San Francisco, L.A., have banned plastic bags, leading to a flourishing black market as people smuggled in bags from places like Oxnard and Fresno. Hey, man, I got a 10-pack of Primo polyethylene. We call it New Jersey Wowie.
Hey, I'm waiting for the new AMC series about the people who smuggle things in called Breaking Bag.
Now, whether or not, let me talk to you seriously for a minute. Whether or not the ban survives, it's going to be on the ballot, it doesn't matter. The big question is, without throwaway plastic bags, how are they going to pick up after their dogs, right?
Yeah, I think I live in Santa Monica, and we banned bags, plastic bags a while ago, and you have to make several trips coming out of the grocery store, but...
carrying each object individually.
Yes. I'm sorry for the jobs with the plastic bag company and all that, but it's a really no-brainer good thing to do. And the fact that it's a no-brainer is why Santa Monica did it.
Bill, how did Erica do in our quiz?
Well, she can celebrate with the horses because she got a perfect score.
Erica, congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
We want to remind everyone they can join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and more information, just surf on over to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Charlie, Super Mario Brothers was made into a movie. Mortal Kombat was made into a movie. And who can forget Alfred Hitchcock's The Angry Birds? Now, another video game is going to get the big blockbuster feature film treatment. What is it?
Missile Command.
I wish. No. It's like, will a hero make four lines in a row?
Tetris?
Tetris! Yes!
Tetris the movie?
Tetris the movie. Tetris the movie, starring George Clooney as the long, manly, straight one. The producers were able to get the rights to make a movie of the game Tetris. because throughout the negotiation, the makers of Tetris thought they were kidding. It's like aliens come, and like their ships are these big L shape and a big T shape, and you have the hero has Liam Neeson, I assume, has to prevent.
So you got to get somebody who really knows shapes in there.
Yeah.
I think the hero would have to be like Big Bird.
Yeah. That's a square. I've seen that before. Faith, this week Viagra released a groundbreaking new commercial. It is the first Viagra has ever put out that stars what?
A woman.
Yes, exactly right. It's a woman. Now, up to now, Viagra and other ED drugs, the commercials have focused on men, handsome, middle-aged guys doing chores or taking baths with their wives in separate tubs outside or throwing or throwing footballs through tires or staring at their own crotches and shouting, "Come on, you can do it, little buddy!" But this new ad for Viagra features a woman. And, of course, in the ad, she picks up a tire and throws it over a football. As you would expect. Actually, what it is, it's just this beautiful sort of tropical resort setting, and this woman is lying on the bed, very beautiful woman, of course, lying on a bed, talking to the camera directly, going on about erectile dysfunction, ED. It's pretty straightforward, but it's weird when she says, "If you've got an erection lasting more than 4 hours, call me." The problem is, men, I know, are dumb. They see a gorgeous woman on TV talking about beer, they want a beer. Standing next to a car, they want a car. Talking about erectile dysfunction, now they all want erectile dysfunction.
So is big news for Viagra in this, at the same time that the news comes out that it can also cause blindness. That was the news this week.
It's like, oh, I buy Viagra, except I can't see the woman who told me to buy it.
It's like your parents told you, if you keep buying Viagra, you'll look blind.
That's why the new ad is a beautiful woman laying on a bed going, "I'm over here."
Coming up, embrace your laziness in our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. Lumber Liquidator, supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information at LumberLiquidators.com. And Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees, now available 100% online at online.asu.edu. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR at WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Faith Saley, Charlie Pierce, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Peter, this is Brandon Walker in North Bethesda, Maryland.
Hey, North Bethesda, we've been around there, north of Washington, D.C. What do you do there?
I'm a singer-songwriter, and I teach music at a school in D.C.
Oh, wow. Well, how old are the kids you teach music to?
Fifth through eighth grade. Yeah.
So trying to teach middle schoolers music doesn't destroy your love of music?
No. Luckily enough, I'm at a school that lets me create the curriculum, so the kids learn what I want them to learn, and so we do what I'm interested in, and it's a great situation, so I'm really grateful.
Does music come up?
Brandon, it is nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Brandon's topic?
I'd lift a finger to help you, but that would require lifting a finger.
There's nothing worse than doing stuff. So every day there's another device that comes out that helps us not do stuff. This week we read a story about a modern convenience so convenient we'll never have to move our bodies again. Guess the real story. You'll win Carl Castle's voice on your voice mail at home. You ready to play?
Yes.
All right. First, let's hear from Paula Poundstone.
Everyone knows if you have a smartphone, you've got the world by the tail. You've got email on your phone. You can surf the web on your phone. You can check your stocks, play music, watch videos, light your way, sharpen your memory, and map your destination on your phone. You can impress people with your phone. Wake yourself up with the phone. The only thing you can't do conveniently with the 6-inch honker pop megaphone is make a call or text. So it comes with a phone. It comes with a small phone called the Little Buddy. So it's a phone that comes with a phone. So when their pop megaphone rings, people answer and say, let me call you back on my phone. It could have come with a scribe and a horse. So when it rings, you dictate a note and send your little buddy off on his trusty steed. It's like a toaster oven that can cook casserole, work as a kiln and a tanning booth, but it can't make toast. So it comes with a toaster, a little buddy. It's like a car that has a big screen TV, retractable beds, Wi-Fi, a mini fridge, a pop-up dining table, and an Xbox. And if you need to get anywhere, it comes with a bike. It's a college that has its own theater company, symphony, sports teams, and hospital, but you take courses online. It's Harvard's little buddy. It's a wife that comes with a hooker. I want a phone that works like a phone. That would be modern.
A big phone that comes with a little buddy, a little phone that comes with your big phone because your big phone is too inconvenient to use. Your next story of a modern convenience comes from Charlie Pierce.
Up until now, the GPS device merely told us how to get from one place to another. Thanks to a breakthrough by scientists at Gresham Technologies, we soon will have GPS devices that not only will tell us how to get where we want to go, but also will eliminate the necessity of our making hard moral choices about the places we want to go. The Roadmaster 450 is a personal GPS device. You download as much of your personal information into the Roadmaster as you can, and the device itself will tell you why you should or should not go to a certain place. For example, if you're an alcoholic and you ask for directions to a bar, the silky voice of the machine might ask, "Are you sure you don't want a nice latte instead? Let's go to Starbucks." Or, if you ask how to get to a local gentleman's club, you might be warned, "Remember the last time we went there?"
A GPS device that tells you not only how to get where you're going, but where you should go in the first place. And your last story of a technological cure for laziness comes from Faith Saley.
Ever feel like it's just too distracting to peel your eyes away from perusing Etsy to dip your jicama in guacamole? Hate how eating your duck prosciutto with kale pesto on sourdough leaves your keyboard greasy? Then the new nourishing invention iFeed is for you. iFeed is a 9-inch robot that feeds you while you anonymously compose mordant comments for Gawker. You place iFeed on your desk or on the table of the co-op cafe where you're updating your Tumblr blog, and its little robot arms cut, scoop, and pierce your meal and then deliver it to your lips. All you have to do is to remember to open your mouth. Kelly Mooney, one of the two MIT students who invented iFeed, says, "Now you don't have to interrupt the momentum of the creative process." Her partner, Sanjeep Agarwal, admits inspiration came during an all-nighter he was pulling for Biochem 2. "I was scarfing churros to stay awake, but my keys kept getting stuck with churro dust." Mooney and Agarwal are working on new ways to program the iFeed to shovel in food faster. Two models in beta are the Italian grandmother, who says, in robot voice, "You look so skinny." And the Jewish mother, who says, "What, don't you like my cooking?"
All right. You could go out and buy one of these three helpful devices. Is it from Paula Poundstone? A big phone that comes with a little phone that's much easier to use than the big phone. From Charlie Pierce, a GPS that tells you where you should go, not just how to get there. Or from Faith, the iFeed, a little robot that helps you eat without looking away from your screen. Which one of these is the real story?
I'm going to go with number one, the big phone that comes with the little phone.
You're going to go with the big phone that comes with the little phone?
Yeah.
That sounds most plausible to you?
I think so.
All right. Well, we spoke to someone who covers tech to give you the answer.
A phone that comes with a littler phone for when you actually want to text people or make phone calls.
That was Christina Bonington talking about the Little Buddy. She is a staff writer for consumer tech at Wired magazine. Congratulations, you got it right, Brandon. Well done. Well done. You earned a point for Paula, and you've won our prize. Carl Castle recorded the greeting for your voicemail. Very well done. Thanks so much for playing, Brandon.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Now the game where very, very smart people do something very, very dumb. They play Not My Job. Professor Ernest Moniz is a distinguished professor of physics from MIT. He is now the U.S. Secretary of Energy. He is probably the smartest person in President Obama's cabinet, but he certainly has the best hair. Secretary Moniz, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Pleasure to be here, Peter.
So, as the only guy with a doctorate in physics at the White House, the smartest guy there, do you know how to keep people out the front door?
Absolutely. We have a very good security force, I assure you.
You're going to have to do more than that, I'm afraid. You don't work at the White House, right? You maybe haven't noticed the people wandering in off the street.
Well, I used to work at the White House back in the President Clinton years.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes.
I didn't realize that. So you're a political veteran.
I've gone in and out from academia to government.
So have a lot of other people, it turns out. We'll leave that alone there. So I want to get to this, the most important topic. You, and I think this is true more than any other political figure today, you're known for your hair. Could you describe your hair to the audience? Because I'm sad they cannot see you.
Well, I'm afraid it's been described for me, for example, on the blogosphere as the best hair in the cabinet since 1794. I've been compared with the psychotic assassin in No Country for Old Men, the Javier Bardem figure.
Yeah. So your hair is sort of long and lush, and it goes down almost to your shoulders. Is that right?
It kind of flows and a little bit curly.
When did you acquire this hair? Well, I mean, obviously. What the hell? Yeah, I'm desperate to know where I can get some. Yeah. No, I mean, what I mean to say is, when did you first adopt this hairstyle? That's what I meant to say.
Actually, it was when I went to California. That's what happens when you go to California from the East Coast. I was a graduate student at Stanford.
Right. So you went out to Stanford in the
70s.
In the 70s, and so it is a hairstyle that is redolent of the 1970s.
It's kind of redolent of all the 70s, the 1870s, the 1770s.
Pretty much.
A lot of people came away from the 70s with a mullet, sir. So I think you've made the right choice.
I wanted to ask you, as someone who has to translate science to the layperson, to congressmen in particular, what is it like to explain, say, climate change, right, to someone who is really dumb?
I can assure you I have some excellent conversations with members of Congress, both parties, both chambers. And frankly, I believe the argument is largely over as to whether we need to address climate change. We have to decide together how we're going to do it.
What do you do on a daily basis when you're the Secretary of Energy? Does it have anything to do with riding a bike?
Well, we do encourage, of course, efficient transportation. We have many missions. Our big one, of course, right now is supporting the President's initiative on climate change, going to clean energy. But I might also add the Department of Energy has a second side, which goes back literally to World War II in terms of managing our nuclear weapons and trying to free the world of dangerous materials.
Do you ever get to take one home to impress your wife?
No, just the occasional picture, of course.
I understand. Are you a self-described nerd? Are you somebody who would call yourself a nerd?
No, I would not, actually.
Really?
Even though I came from MIT, kind of known as Nerdville, right?
Are you a nerd hero? I mean, do people come up and admire you because of your scientific achievements?
Yes, that often happens, frankly. And by the way, I must say,
explain to me the last time that happened. Where you were somewhere, sir. You were out just at a 7-Eleven or something, and someone came up with admiration over your scientific achievements.
I would say yesterday.
It happened yesterday. Well, take that, Poundstone.
Okay.
So what happened? I want to hear about this. I want to hear about the nerd groupie who came up to you yesterday. What happened?
To be quite serious about it, a number of young scientists around the country consider the pathway I've taken one that inspires them, and it's really a pleasure to be able to hopefully encourage these young students.
When we found out we were going to be honored to have you on the show, the first thing we did was we looked up where you are on the line of succession. There is, in fact, there's a line of succession.
Yeah.
That's by office, and we know obviously
Correct.
The president, then the vice president, then the speaker of the house, then the president pro tempore of the senate, And you go all the way down the list. You're third to last, we found out. It's you, it's Arnie Duncan.
And Veterans Affairs, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And then it's the guy who's guarding the front door at the White House, but he's not on the list anymore. That seems insulting. The Secretary of Energy is important. Energy
is
hugely
important. It goes by the date of the creation of the Cabinet Department,
right,
I believe.
Exactly.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was a value judgment.
No.
I thought housing, we need housing more than we need energy, so energy goes beneath housing, or something like that. Do you oversee all things energy? Do you have like a favorite energy drink?
I have a perhaps favorite energy technology, which is solar energy, which I think will be very, very big as we go forward.
Really?
Yep.
Nice pivot on that one, sir. Uh-huh. We were going to get you to wade into that controversial issue of Gatorade versus Powerade, but you went right to your preferred topic. You are a practiced politician. I admire that. Well, Secretary Moniz, we're delighted to have you with us, and we are asking you here to play a game we're calling...
Ernie, meet Bert.
So you're Ernie, right? That's what you like people to call you.
Yeah.
So how much do you know about Bert? We're going to ask you three questions about the Sesame Street character. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail. Bill, who is Secretary Moniz playing for?
Jean Clairfeld of Ossing, New York.
Now, I just wanted to point out that your predecessor in the job, Dr. Stephen Chu, came on the show about 4 years ago, soon after his appointment, and lost big time. He got one right.
And the Nobel Committee came back and took his award
away. They did, yeah.
They ripped off his epaulets, broke his sword over his knee.
I just want to set that mark right there for you. All right.
Okay.
You ready to do this?
I'm ready.
Ever since Bert and Ernie were introduced on Sesame Street as roommates who shared a bedroom, they have been supposed of being gay partners, but not so. In fact, the makers of Sesame Street early on tried to show that Bert was happily heterosexual by showing him doing what? A, eating cheese doodles and watching football until he falls asleep on the couch. B, serenading a woman with the song, I Want to Hold Your Ear. Or C, watching Miss Piggy go by and saying, nice hams.
Well, again, we're trying to apply some degree of rationality. Let me choose number one.
You choose number one,
watching
eating cheese doodles and watching football. No, it was actually serenading a woman with the song, I Want to Hold Your Ear.
I see.
Here is Bert singing to his lady love.
Oh, I want to hold your ear. Baby, want to hold it near. Baby, want to hold your ear until you hear that I love you.
Good Lord.
I realize, of course.
And that makes him straight?
Oh, yeah. All right, you still have two more chances to outdo right. Secretary Chu. Bert and Ernie have had many things named after them in the many years they've been around, including which of these? A, a pair of high-energy particles from outside of the galaxy. B, the fists of ultimate fighting champion Demetrius Johnson, Bert and Ernie. Or C, two gay penguins at the Pittsburgh Zoo.
Another difficult question. I guess as a physicist, I would go with the high-energy particles.
And you would be correct. They're neutrinos.
Right.
They were discovered and then named Bert and Ernie by the Ice Cube Neutrino Observatory. Okay, Secretary Moniz, here is your last question. Get this one right, you win. Bert has played a role in all kinds of dramas all over the world. He's been everywhere. He's done everything. In fact, he was once seen, A, breaking into the White House... B, attending George Clooney's wedding, or C, declaring his allegiance to Osama bin Laden?
Well, I think I will go with George Clooney.
You're going to go with George Clooney. You believe that at George Clooney's wedding, just last week in Venice, to the acclaimed civil rights lawyer he married,
yep,
one of the guests of honor was Bert. So is that your choice, Secretary Moniz?
Well, you're suggesting I change it, but I'll stick with it.
You're going to stick with it?
Yeah.
No, the answer was C, declaring his allegiance to Osama bin Laden. Let me explain.
Really?
Back around 2000-2001, some wag put up a site called Evil Bert, depicting Bert from Sesame Street doing evil things, including being dressed as a mujahideen next to Osama bin Laden. And some protesters who were protesting in favor of Osama in Afghanistan printed out these pictures of Osama, not noticing that there was a bearded, evil-looking Bert next to him. So, in fact, Bert from Sesame Street appeared in multiple times at these pro-Osama protests in Afghanistan. Wow. Bill, how did Secretary Moniz do on our show?
Well, the secretary got 1 out of 3, which is exactly what the previous secretary got, so you're in very good company.
You can learn more about what Secretary of Energy Ernest Moniz is up to at energy.gov. They got a lot of cool things going on. Secretary Ernest Moniz, thank you so much for joining us here in Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks very much, yeah.
Rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Angie's List, where consumers can browse, buy, and schedule local services online. More at angieslist.com. And Subaru, featuring the all-new Subaru Outback. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and we are playing this week with Faith Seeley, Charlie Pierce, and Paula Poundstone. Here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill kills you with rhymes. He's the Limb Reaper. Look, you knew what you were in for when you came. In our Listener Limerick Challenge, if you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Paula, Japanese designers have come up with an all-new kind of armchair. We've seen chairs that recline before, but this one does what?
Ooh, I don't know. Drives you to the kitchen?
No, I'll give you a hint. This, like a number of other products that we've noticed from Japan, are marketed for lonely people.
Uh-oh.
It shoots out of the house, the door flies open, and it takes you towards another person in a chair.
Like the chairs speeding towards each other?
Yeah, no. It's attracted to other lonely people in chairs.
No, that would be useful.
Yeah, there's a big cluster down the town center.
Yeah. Well...
a four-recliner pileup at the intersection.
The sad thing is there's millions of lonely people in chairs, so it would be like tons of people. There'd be only 4 or 5 people left in their homes.
I'll give you a hint. Well, it's an armchair. It might as well use its arms.
It hugs you.
It hugs you.
Thank God.
That is horrible. It's horrible. It should take you down the street to other lonely people.
It was at 8.
It's called the Tranquility Chair. That's a weird name. Maybe they should call it the Sudden Terror Chair. It's designed to look like an oversized man wearing jeans and a hat.
What?
And when you sit in it,
when you sit in it,
it kind of wraps its arms around you in a hug. You could save $1,000 and just sit on an oversized man with jeans and a hat.
Well, that'd be 2 less lonely people in the world. Maybe it can do the Heimlich.
Boink. Can you like custom order your own chair? Because I don't want to sit in Mr. Green Jeans' lap, let alone get hugged by him.
Some people find it comforting.
Would you feel better with a very large woman hugging you? Can you calibrate how strong you want your hug to be?
That's a good question. You should. It should be like, right? You know, a little one of those control panels like the best Barca loungers have.
How lonely am I?
Yes. Paula, a recent survey conducted by the Daily Mail in England found that half of all women have already selected a backup in case their what fails or stops working.
Husband.
Yes, exactly right. The Daily Mail reported that 50% of married women have mentally selected a backup husband. Half the women are laughing here. Half of them are going, how did they find out? In case their marriage goes sour or their current husband stops booting up properly and just starts displaying an error message. According to the Daily Mail, most of the backup husbands are chosen from 3 specific groups. They're either ex-boyfriends, current platonic friends, or Ryan Goslings. And if you're the backup husband,
Right? Who took the poll, by the way?
I was the Daily Mail.
I don't answer poll questions over the phone anymore, by the way. So when they call, and I answer my phone most of the time like this. I don't want to do a poll, and I don't have any money. That's how I answer my phone. And 90% of the time, it would be one of, that's who's calling.
Really?
But so these people who answer the polling questions, I'm not sure they're really the cross-section that we're looking for.
People willing to answer their phones.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So how do you feel if you learn you're the backup husband?
Well, I imagine it depends on how you find out.
I don't think you share it with him.
Do men choose backup wives?
I wouldn't say the word wife so much. If you know what I mean. Faith, prenuptial agreements have long been used by rich people to ensure their spouse doesn't get all their money when they divorce. Now a UK charity has come up with a prenup specifically for what?
Can I have a hint?
It's a good thing Paula's single because she has a lot of these.
Cats, pets.
Yes, pets.
That makes sense.
The petnup ensures your ex doesn't get the dog in the event of a breakup. It's a smart plan. Until now, couples have had to divide their pets in half, meaning you might end up with the unacute part. But here's the thing. All right, now this does make sense because we all know couples have had fights about their pets. It can get very unpleasant. But when do you bring up when you want, you're in love, you want to get married, but honey, I just want to sign a prenup with you about our pets.
I think you bring it up when you mention the backup husband.
Yeah.
Let's just get everything out on the table right here. You're not getting the cats, and you're not really the guy I want.
Other than that, darling, I love you.
Yeah.
Are there people who marry other people just to get their hands on their pets?
No question. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, there are people after
That's
me
what
all
Prince
the time.
I was about to say, is that why you're resolutely single, Paula, because you don't want people to get their hands on your... How many cats?
I have 16 cats. I'll tell you what I wouldn't do to get somebody to take some of those cats. I don't even like sex,
right,
but I would make a rare exception to the rule. I sift litter boxes 4 times a day.
Paula, why do you have 16 cats?
Oh, then? I thought you were going to say, why do I sift 4 times a day?
Why did you accumulate 16 cats? How?
Because I had 15 and I got one more.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. You can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Pittsburgh, PA, October 16th. Also, check out our How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian tell you how to predict the winter without harming any groundhogs. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Alice Beenan from Princeton, New Jersey.
Hey, how are things in Princeton, New Jersey?
Quite nice at the present.
What do you do there?
I live there, but I work on another university.
Another university?
Villanova University.
Villanova.
Ooh. Ah.
I see, over in Pennsylvania. What do you teach?
I teach mathematics.
Do you?
I do.
I have nothing funny to say about mathematics. It scares me. And it intimidates
I have lots of funny things to say about mathematics.
Tell me,
but we don't have to go into it.
You know what I love? Do you have like a joke that only a mathematician would get?
Several, but you don't want me to tell them on the show.
Okay.
Are they dirty math jokes?
Welcome to the show, Alice. Bill Curtis is now going to perform for you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly into the limericks, you will be a big winner. Here is your first limerick.
Now that cupcakes are on their last legs, our quaint dishes move up a few pegs, and late midnight rambles end poached, fried, or scrambled at places that only serve...
eggs.
Yes, eggs. Very good. Somehow eggs have replaced cupcakes and cronuts as the new trendy food, runny is the new black. The Egg Shop in Soho in New York serves eggs in every imaginable overpriced variety, and copycats are popping off everywhere. Right this moment, somewhere in Brooklyn, there's 200 hipsters forming a line behind a very nervous-looking chicken.
So are cupcakes on their way out?
Oh, cupcakes are over.
They've been over for so long. I mean, even macaroons are over.
Oh, God, yes.
They opened a Dunkin' Donuts in Santa Monica, and I am not making this up. For days, there were lines around the block.
Really?
As if we'd never had a donut in Santa Monica before. It was embarrassing. It was absolutely embarrassing. There were news trucks out there.
Well, you're from Massachusetts.
I'm from Massachusetts.
Where Dunkin' Donuts started. Were
yeah.
you not excited?
I like Dunkin' Donuts, but I cannot support nor participate in their world domination.
Alice, here is your next limerick.
Tasty curry can make you feel young. Not too hot or your taste buds get stung. Our robot device will test food for spice. To taste curry, we have a fake...
tongue?
Yes, tongue!
All things.
So Thailand's government is serious about the authenticity of Thai cuisine, right, in Thailand. So they built a device. It is a robotic tongue that tastes green curry, their national dish, and gives it a quality rating. That is its job.
I feel that there might be some off-label uses for a robotic tongue.
Here, quickly moving on, is your last limerick.
My kid is a baby clothes modeler, so I can't be a calm molly coddler. To keep looking great, he'll start lifting weights. Good thing we've got CrossFit for...
Oh, toddler.
Yes, a toddler. Yes, very good. You've undoubtedly heard of the exercise technique known as CrossFit because people who do CrossFit will not shut up about it. Now, according to the New York Times, CrossFit gyms across America are offering classes to kids as young as 2 or 3 years old, and they fit in really well because, like regular CrossFit people, they also communicate mostly by grunting and screaming. Bill, how did Alice do in our quiz?
3-0 for Alice. Good going, Alice.
Well done, Alice.
Alice.
Thank you, Alice. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
She got all three right, so one thing we know for sure is she'll never be Secretary of Energy.
Apparently. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill Curtis, can you give us the score?
Paula and Faith each have 3. Charlie has 2.
All right. So, Charlie, you are indubitably in third place. You will start first. Here we go. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Tuesday, the CDC confirmed the first case of blank to be diagnosed on U.S. soil.
Ebola.
Right. eBay announced that it would be spinning off its electronic payment service blank into a separate company.
PayPal?
Yes. Two groups of scientists published reports this week that found a definitive link between extreme weather events and blank.
Climate change.
Right. After an accident involving a tractor, ex-Congressman blank passed away at 73.
James Traficant.
Yeah, James Traficant. Yep. An outbreak of food poisoning struck the annual blank this week.
Oktoberfest.
No, Food Safety Summit.
Oops.
Microsoft announced the follow-up to their Windows 8 operating system would be called Windows Blank.
Windows 9.
No, actually, they're skipping 9. It's Windows 10. Olympic gold medalist Michael Phelps achieved another personal record when he was charged with the second blank.
DWI.
Yes, indeed. A man in Pennsylvania explained to police that he fired a bullet through his neighbor's window because he blanked.
Ducked.
No, because he didn't know any other way to safely unload his gun. After the man fired a round into his neighbor's house, Pennsylvania police confronted him, and he apologized. He said he just didn't know any other way to get that bullet out of the gun. They told him, if you want to fire your gun without getting in trouble, next time just aim at the White House like everybody else. Bill, how did Charlie do in our quiz?
Well, pretty good. He got 5 right for 10 more points. He now has 12 points and the lead.
Well done, Charlie. We have flipped the coin, and Paula has elected to go last, so Faith, you're up next, fill in the blank. In Venice, civil rights lawyer Amal Alamuddin finally settled down and married actor blank.
George Clooney.
Right. On Thursday, George W. Bush told reporters that he is encouraging blank to run for president.
His brother Jeb.
Indeed. Recovery efforts are underway after an eruption of a volcano in blank.
Japan.
Right. This week, California became the first state to adopt a blank means blank consent law.
Yes means yes.
Indeed. After police were able to easily find an Oregon man who was hiding from them in a bush, the man said he regretted blanking.
Putting on so much cologne.
You're exactly right, Faith. A gathering of Nobel laureates in South Africa had to be canceled after blank failed to obtain a visa.
Was it Stephen Hawking?
No, the Dalai Lama.
Oh.
Risking more protests, Spain's constitutional court halted preparations for the Catalonia region's blank vote.
They want to secede. Secession vote?
Yes. A man in Texas was arrested when he agreed to blank before robbing a bank.
Was arrested when he agreed to do something before robbing a bank?
Yes.
Get naked?
No. He agreed to show the teller two forms of ID. So what happened was... He's like, give me your money. And they said, well, I can't give you money until you show me two forms of ID.
Oh, my gosh.
Said the extremely cool-headed teller. So he's like, oh, okay. And he showed the ID. Oh. And if that weren't embarrassing enough, things were even worse for him when he realized he didn't have any place to store his new cash and immediately circled back in line to open a free checking account. Bill, how did Faith do in our quiz?
She got 6 right. 12 more points she got for 15 points, and she has the lead.
All right. So,
there's a situation here. That's what it is.
It's a situation.
It's a situation.
How many, then, does Paula need to win?
We're coming down to the wire. She needs 6 to tie, 7 to win.
Oh, my gosh, Paula. Here we go. This is for the game.
All right.
Fill in the blank. On Thursday, the Turkish parliament began debating whether or not to join the fight against blank.
ISIS.
Right. ISIS. ISIL. A federal appeals court ordered North Carolina to restore their state's same-day blank registration.
Same-day voter.
Right. A grocery store worker in New York was fired from his job and eventually arrested after he blanked.
He stole a lot of food.
No. Well, he did, actually. He tried to hide $1,200 worth of stolen meat down his pants.
Exactly.
Executives at Netflix announced that their first original movie would be a sequel to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Blank.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Mom.
Hidden Dragon, Paul.
Yeah,
on Monday,
yeah.
The Detroit Lions confirmed that their tight end had injured himself while blanking.
Being stalked by a lion hunter.
No. He injured himself while trying to keep his dog from peeing in the house. Joe Faria was forced to miss the Lions game against the New York Jets after he sprained his ankle lunging to keep his puppy from making a piddle on the floor. Faria admits he's embarrassed by the injury. He's excited to get back in the field and suffer a concussion. So we can forget about the whole thing. Bill, did Paula do well enough to win?
Well, she got 6 more points for a total of 9, but with 15 points, Faith is this week's champion.
It was a shellacking.
Congratulations, Faith.
Thanks.
In just a minute, we'll ask, now that California has banned plastic bags, what will they ban next, those do-gooders? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations, and CarMax offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. Pimsleur language programs offering tools to record an answering machine greeting in 50 languages. Learn more at Pimsleur.com. And the Annie E. Casey Foundation developing solutions to support strong families and communities for America's children at AECF.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Edie Brickelsey in the New Bohemians Hardison. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Les Dolarchik at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Miles Dernboss. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Andy Ann. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillag. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Linwood Danforth. Now, panel, now that they have nixed the plastic bags, what will California ban next? Faith Saley.
After plastic bags, it's plastic bodies. Hugh Hefner's already put his mansion on the market.
Charlie Pierce.
They're going to ban everything plastic. Plastic forks, plastic spoons, plastic sporks, plastic surgery, Legos, Alex Trebek, and the upper halves of several aspiring reality TV stars.
Paula Poundstone.
Containers, Peter. There'll be just no containers at all allowed in California. Everything must be gathered in one's arms.
And if California bans any of those, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Charlie Pierce, and Faith Taylor. Thanks to all of you smiling people for listening. I'm Peter Sagal, and we will see you next week. This is NPR.